Good morning. This morning's Bible reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, the call of Abraham. Whoops, just wrecked the joint. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh and at Shemesham. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued toward Negev. Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to start by an old joke. I think lots of you will have heard it before. But it's of a bride, and she was a bit nervous of her wedding day approaching, and she was just thinking, what if I get it wrong? What if it doesn't quite go? What happens? And she was talking to the minister or the priest, pastor, whatever you want to call them. And I said, "Look, I'm a bit nervous. Have you got any tips?" And he said, "Look, it's really simple. Once you get over past the first bit, it just rolls on." So he says, "All you've got to remember is when you get to the church, all you'll do, you get there and then you'll travel down the altar. So you travel down the aisle. To the front. Eventually you'll get to the altar at the front, and then what you'll find is the first hymn will start to play. And if you get that bit right, everything else will flow from there." So on a wedding day, there she is, stood at the back of the church, and she's remembering these words just to make it a little bit easier for her. Aisle, altar, hymn. Aisle, altar, hymn. And hasn't that been a bride's mantra? Ever since. You know, symbols are important. Last Sunday, we used the symbol, didn't we, of the poppy. And there's some Christian symbols that we use, don't they? We use the bread and the wine. We use the symbol of the dove. We use the symbol of the rainbow. And of course, the symbol of the cross. But I want to suggest today another symbol that we can use, and perhaps we don't talk about. We find it in the Bible, in Genesis, and especially through the Old Testament. Let me read to you a different passage, just a couple of verses from Exodus 20, talking about Moses, 22 to 25. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourself that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourself gods of silver or gold. Make an altar of earth for me, and sacrifice on it burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep, your goats, and your cattle. Whenever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it when you use a tool on it." The symbol I want to think about today is the symbol of the altar. You know, the altar has travelled through the years to where you still find an altar table in many churches today. Now, is the altar table just for putting some nice flowers on to help the church look nice, which they do, very much so? Or can this symbol continue to be used to help us a little bit more again to think about what it means to be the people of God today. So I've got two titles that'll really confuse the guys on the on when they're trying to put it onto the website today. I've got two titles for my talk, and it's this: 10 lessons from at the altar, or the need today to build altars on our Christian journey of faith. 10 lessons, so I'm going to have to go quite fast and not try and do too much. The first lesson then is this: the altar was a sacred, a holy space, a place of waiting. You know, in all the rush in our society today, lots of things to do most of the time, perhaps more than ever as the people of God, we need to find and create spaces of being still and waiting. Holy spaces to stop and to pause and to breathe. I think we need to do this both together, communally, as a church community. In some ways, it was lovely on Tuesday night to spend time in prayer with a number of people from the church, just praying together, sitting in that prayerful space. In some ways, Sunday allows us to do that to a point, but Sunday can still feel a bit rushed at times, I feel. Maybe in small groups, that space is slightly better created. But also I think we need to do that on our own. Perhaps sat in a chair, you know, in our own house. Alison would say she often uses the space of being in a bath to be kind of in that sort of space. Perhaps it's going for a walk, or maybe sat on a park bench. Perhaps our Advent candle can be an altar for us this year as we journey through Advent to Christmas. Part of the meaning of the word Advent is actually the word waiting, isn't it? You know, I believe that these spaces can be very precious and very valuable if we include them in the rhythm of everything else that we have to do. So the altar was a sacred, holy space, a place of waiting. And secondly, the altar was a God meeting place. A place to be in God's presence. A place of encounter. And in some ways this follows on, doesn't it, from my first point. That sacred holy space was a time to be still. And wait to meet with and to be with God. You know, I know that God is with us all the time. The word for that is omnipresent. He's with us wherever we are, all the time. But the altar was a specific place to be still and to know, to acknowledge God and to be in his presence. It was a place of connection. It was a place of encounter for people. To illustrate this a little bit, I've maybe said this before, but I can imagine, you know, in the evening, sometimes Alison will be sat in a chair and she'll be doing some crocheting, and I may be sat in another chair, might be watching some rubbish on the television. And we kind of know that we're in each other's presence. You know that I know she's there, she'll know I'm there, but we're doing our thing. And then, but sometimes, probably not as often, and I'm glad she's out, as we realise, sometimes I might have to turn off the telly and she might put down a crocheting needles and we'll sat and have a conversation. She will say, not very often. But that's a different connection, isn't it? That's a different space of encounter. That's not just being in the room. It's about giving space. And we do need to be careful, and I said this in my prayers, of deciding the success of that space is dependent on our feelings. Because I think sometimes we do. We think, actually, I've created the space, but I just didn't feel anything. So it didn't work. That's not what, we have to be careful of that, because the space is about the promise of God and acknowledging and being, not just about how we feel and if we feel something or not. So the altar was a sacred space, a place of waiting, but it was also a place to be in God's presence, a place of encounter. The third thing I'd say is the altar was a place of worship. It was a place of thanksgiving. and it was a place of prayer. What did Noah do when he came out of the ark after the flood? Well, one of the first things he did is he built an altar. Building an altar for him was an act of thanksgiving. It was an act of worship to God by Noah for saving him and his family. Alison last week talked about the need and the value to worship. You know, if we take a step back, I think if we're honest, we all have much to be thankful for. And I believe that it's important that we give thanks to worship our God, even when we don't really feel like it. Also, often the altar was a place where there was burning of incense. Exodus 30 verse 1 says, "Make an altar of Acacia wood for burning incense." The incense represented prayers rising up to God. Worship, thanksgiving, prayer, all right things for us as the people of God. These can also, I think, be a real value to our faith, because I think when we do worship God and focus on Him, when we do pray, when we do have a heart that's thanksgiving, what it does, I think, is change our perspective. It lifts our eyes in a different way. It fuels our faith. So it's important that the altar is a place of worship and thanksgiving and prayer. The fourth thing I'd say is the altar was a place of preparation and receiving faith. The altar was a place for God to do a work. It might be to restore somebody or to heal. It might be to renew or revive. Often it was a place where God would reveal something in that place. You know, I think sometimes they say, don't they, the best place to see stars is in a place of what we call dark sky, don't we? So, and the idea is that is it's best to see the stars because there's no interference around. There's no sort of man-made light, basically, kind of blocking the way to see the stars in their clearest. I think the altar was a place for people where there was no interference, where there was no distractions. So it became a place where God could show things, where God could reveal things to those who were there. And I think what this did in people, when I look at it in the Bible, is it built faith, often resulting in a person then being sent. The altar was part of Abraham receiving the promise of God and then being sent to go and fulfill that promise. I wonder if we were to spend more time at the altar, what God might show us, what God might speak into our lives, what new challenges might we be sent to go and do in His name. Sometimes you wonder if God's got things for you to, and He wants to say things, but we've not given Him that space where the interference and distractions are not there. So He's not been able to get through to show us and to tell us. The fifth thing, we're getting there, is that the altar is a place, or was a place, of laying things down or on. It was a place to bring anything and everything before God. I love the story in Luke 7 of the sinful woman who comes into the Pharisee's house where Jesus is and starts to wash Jesus' feet with her hair, with her tears, and dry them with her hair. What I love about this is this woman, what she does is she brings in all her mess when she comes in to see Jesus. You know, I believe, and I think I preached on it before, this is such a valuable lesson for us. Especially as sometimes I think people feel that actually what we should do is the opposite. So I'll hear the things like, well, I can't really come to church because I've got too much mess going on. Or I'll hear, well, what I'll do is I'll come to church, but I'll kind of leave my mess at the door, and then I'll come and do the church thing, and then I might pick it up again on the way out. I think that is such a lie of the enemy. I believe it's important to bring all our mess to Jesus. I think we have to be honest and we have to be real. We need to bring our failures. We need to bring our concerns. We need to bring our doubts and questions. We need to bring our struggles and choices. I think actually this is what the real meaning is of messy church. Church is meant to be messy, and in some ways it is. The altar was a place to bring things down, to lay things on. Number six, the altar was a place of offering, of sacrifice, of surrender and commitment. You know, probably the most well-known story that connects us to this is in Genesis 22. It says this, "So Abraham and his son went on together and came to the place God had told him about. Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood on it and then tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the wood on the altar." It's a story that is a bit uncomfortable when we hear that story about Abraham building an altar and then God's told him to put his son on there. Most of us know that just before Abraham was about to kill his son on the altar, God said, "No, stop, it's okay," and provided in the end a lamb instead. But it was a real test for Abraham. Was he prepared to sacrifice? Was he prepared to surrender? Was he prepared to commit in his following of his God? Perhaps the altar reminds us that there is often a cost to following God's plan for our lives, to following Jesus on the narrow road. More and more, I think I realize that the true meaning of Christian discipleship requires sacrifice. It requires surrender. And it challenges us, or at least it should challenge us. Number seven, the altar reminds us of God's forgiveness. You know, in the Old Testament, the altar was a place of atonement. What I mean by that is, people used to, at the altar, they would bring a lamb, and they would put the lamb on the altar, and then what they would do is they'd lay hands on the lamb. And the idea behind that is that they would be passing over their sin onto the lamb, and then they would kill the lamb, slaughter the lamb, and as the lamb was killed and its blood was shed, then the idea of that is there was atonement, there was a forgiveness of sin was able to be received. It was a sacrifice. So the altar might remind us of our sin and the need to confess. But in the New Testament, Jesus was proclaimed by his cousin John, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." See, the cross perhaps is the ultimate altar, because on the cross our sin was laid on Jesus. He became in many ways sin for us, and as his blood was shed as a sacrifice, he opened the way for us to know forgiveness. The altar of the cross is a place where we can find God's forgiveness and God's grace. Number eight. The altar was a place of remembrance and acknowledgement. Now, I think this can be really helpful for us today. An altar was often built as a marker along the journey. And that's what we read really, Karen read for us in our story from Abraham today. See, the altar would be built to commemorate. This is where I met with God. This marks a place where God did something in my life. He spoke to me. Something happened, and I put it. I want to say thank you to God because I can see that he was in it and he did it. And they put the altar down to mark the place, to mark the spot. In Exodus 17, verse 15, after with Moses, after the Amalekites were defeated, and you know it was a miraculous victory, Moses built an altar to say, "This is where God delivered us, and victory was given over our enemies." You know, I think there's a real value in having such markers along our Christian journey. Part of the value of this is the fact that when we're finding things tough, we can look back. We can look back on the journey and say, yeah, but there's that marker there that God did something there for me. Or that God spoke to me in a certain way, or something happened there in my relationship with God, and I remember that. It was a mark. It was important then. It was meaningful then. And there's a song called Do It Again, and it talks about that in some of the lyrics. It kind of sort of says, I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe that you can do it again. It's looking back and saying, yes, I remember then. And it might be difficult now, and I might not be able to see God at the moment, and it might be hard at the moment, but if it was real then, why shouldn't it still be real? And perhaps it just gives us that something to keep us going. The altar is a place of remembrance and acknowledgement. Number 9. See, we're getting there. The altar was a public declaration. It was a physical sign. I can imagine when an altar was built by Moses or Abraham or whatever, people passing by saying, why have you built that? Then the opportunity was to open up, wasn't it? To say who the altar was for or why they had built the altar. It was an opportunity for testimony, wasn't it? To express why they built it, who they built it for. Perhaps today we often talk about baptism in that way, don't we? We often talk about when we baptize somebody, and we do, most people know here, we do full immersion baptism. And many people here have had the experience of that full immersion baptism. And it was a public declaration of faith, isn't it? It's where people say, I'm publicly saying who I belong to and what God has done in my life. But what about in other ways, ongoing ways? I saw the other day a clip about a man who had built a giant, luminous cross in front of his house. And his neighbours were complaining. Perhaps we don't need to build a giant, luminous cross in front of our house. But what might our public signs be? How do we let people know who we belong to? What God has done for us. Do we see that as something that's part of who we are? Is it putting a fish on your car? Is it putting a cross around your neck? What is it? I think one of the ways that I think is really important is what I call the invitation. It's giving that invitation to someone and say, you know what, I go to church. Would you like to come with me sometime? We have a welcome cafe that's really giving chance for people to meet together, come along. We'll be approaching Christmas, and you know, there's that different services and saying to people, wait, why don't you come along? I know it's like, I'd have to publicly declare something about who I am, because it would tell them that's who you are. What are our public signs of who we belong to? What God has done in our lives? And then finally, the altar was a place of alteration. It's kind of similar in the spelling. It's close enough for me in my spelling. But it was a place of transformation. You know, when I look at the different places where the altar is mentioned in the Bible, something would happen at the altar. A God-led change would take place. A transformation would often take place. It was not just a place where there was built lots of wood or stones, but it was a place of deep, significant, inner, spiritual things being built in people's lives. 10 lessons. 10 lessons from a symbol that perhaps we don't always think about. We think about the cross. We see this piece of wood, don't we? You know, I was saying, do we call that an altar table? I think we do, don't we? That's what we call it. Here every week you see it. You think, is that just to put the flowers on? Well, maybe there's more significant meaning to the altar. 10 lessons. The altar is a sacred holy space, a place of waiting. The altar was a place where people met with God, to be in the presence of God, to have an encounter with God. The altar was a place of worship and thanksgiving and prayer. The altar was a place of preparation in people's lives, where they would receive faith and often be sent to go. The altar was a place where you could just lay down and be honest and lay everything on, even your mess, even the things that you struggle with, your doubts and your fears and your concerns and your worries. The altar was a place of offering and sacrifice, of surrender and commitment, part of being called into that journey of discipleship. The altar reminds us that we have a God of forgiveness. The altar was a place of remembrance, of acknowledgement. This was the place when something specifically God did in and around my life. And it was a public sign, a physical sign to let others know. And it was a place of alteration. It was a place of transformation. 10 lessons at the altar. But I said I had two titles, didn't I, for my message today. And that second title is The Need Today to Build Altars on Our Christian Journey of Faith. That's what I've been thinking about as I wrote these. You know, I'm just downloading it all to you for the first time, but I've carried it over the week. And my thoughts are, yeah, I think we need to build more altars on our Christian journey of faith. You might think to yourself, well, what altars make up your journey? Can you look back? Can you look back in your own life and remember? Do you remember that time God did this? Answered that prayer when I felt an overwhelming sense of God's presence? Could have been in church. You might have been on a hillside. You might have been at a conference like New Wine. Can you look back and say, yes? And he did it then. Maybe you can do it again. So what altars do we need to build even today? Perhaps one of those 10 points just was for you. It might not have been all of them. It might just be one that says, that's the point for you today, God's saying. You need to know my forgiveness, or you need to lay something down, or we need to think about that sense of sacrifice and commitment again, or whatever it might be. So I want us to respond. I haven't done anything like this for a while, but I'll take a chance today. But on the way in, you all potentially were given a stone. You know, altars were often built out of broken rocks in the Bible. What are our broken rocks today that we might need to come and build the altar before God today? To be create that space again of encounter, that holy space. Maybe it's the doubts that you carry at the moment. Maybe it's the hurts. Maybe it's those imperfections that concern you and you just think. Maybe it's some worries or some fears. Maybe you feel there's a bit of chaos around at the moment. I don't know. I wondered if we might just bring them again and build an altar before our God and say, here we are. Here we are, your people. Could this be an encounter space? Could this be a holy space? Could you do something again in us? Could you speak again into our lives? So what I thought we'd do is I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. And we're going to sing the song, King of Kings, Majesty. And I picked that song. I was trying to find what song could I sing after I've spoken today. But it just has that line in it where it says, I come before you, lay my all before you now. And that's what we're talking about, really. Laying again before our God. Even our struggles, our worries, our doubts, even our pressures or our thanksgivings. Whatever it might be. And I'm going to suggest it's while we sing this song, if you'd like to today, as just a kind of a sign, a seal, whatever, just to come and bring your stone to the front and we're just going to lay it by the ultimate altar, the cross. and just make your response to that. I can't make you do this. Certainly, I don't want you to all just rush up and cause a big queue. I just want you to just use the space of the song. But you'll know if it's the right thing for you to do today. And it might be one person, or it might be many. But it's saying, okay, I hear something of what's been said to me today, God, through this message. And I need to respond, and I want to respond. And yes, you could sit in your chair and respond, I understand that. But sometimes it's something about doing something that just maybe will be another marker and reminder, and you'll look back and say, that day, do you remember when we went up and laid that stone on the table? That was another day when God spoke, did something in my life. So as we sing our final song, well, no, that isn't our final song. As we sing our next song, I'm going to give that opportunity. So as the band come up, let me just bow our heads again in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we just acknowledge your presence. Lord, as we've sung songs today, we've heard testimony, we've heard lots of words based around your word. But Lord, most important, I pray that you would just speak individually to us. So Lord, just speak again into our lives. And Lord, if there's a way that today we need to respond, particularly if there's a way of if it's right that we just come up and put that stone on the altar as a way of saying, yeah, me today, God, me. This is something going on in me today. You're speaking, you're doing, you're... Then I just lay that stone down and just as a response. This is still a holy space, a sacred space, a place, I pray, of encounter. Lord, give us courage to respond today in whatever way you would call us to do so. And continue to work in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to stand.